Amen? Today we're going to take it a little bit further. I want you to turn to 1 John 2:20. The Apostle John says to us, if you're there, says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." You have this anointing. Where is this anointing? It's in our hearts. It's where He dwells, right? Who's the Holy One? Yeah, you guys should be fighting this. This is real easy questions. I should be fighting out with these answers. You're right. I want you to understand something, that in this scripture here, the word anointing is unction. It is the only time that this word is used in the New Testament. Unction. What is unction? What is anointing? Well, the Greek word for anointing is charisma. We all know what charisma is, right? Besides it being a magazine. Charisma is personality, you know. The effervescence of who we are. It's easy to talk to people, right? That's a charisma that we have. But we also have to understand that John is saying, you know all things. If you have this anointing, you know all things. What does the word know mean? Well, in the Greek, it is eido. It means to be aware, perceive, be sure, and to understand. Without this anointing, you will not be able to perceive, be aware, or understand the things of God. It's impossible. This is why you need to flow in this anointing. This is why you need to allow this anointing to flow out of you. And the scripture also says that what you know and what I know, when we put it all together, we have the mind of Christ. I have only a piece of it. That's why I need to hear what God is saying to you. That's why I need to really begin to sit before Him and put these pieces together in a way that makes sense of His plan for us. That's why it's not just, well, pastors, we're all in this together with Him leading us. We have to understand that if we do not use the anointing, we will not be able to understand the things of God, let alone the deep things of God. And what I'm talking about really is elementary here. This is really simple stuff that you guys should know. We have talked about it. We have discussed it in fellowships. We have done foundational Bible studies. This should all be a part of your life. Not just, well, that was a good thing the pastor said. I can still go on. You have to understand what God is doing. He is building not only a family, but He is building warriors for the end time conflict that is about to be unleashed upon the world. There are five stages to spiritual growth. You may not be aware of it, but today I'm going to reveal them to you. Turn to Romans 5, starting in verse 1. If you understand these stages and you're able to see where you are in these stages, then in three phases of God's love will become apparent. But some of us don't understand. Some of us have been crying out to God, "Where am I, God? How mature am I? I'm more mature than Jesse. I'm more mature than Dylan." If we make those comparisons, we deceive ourselves, because our maturity has to be where? Gauged by our relationship with Christ. Amen? All right, let me read what Paul says. He says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And that not And not only that, but we also glory in the tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We're talking about this internalization of what is going on to cause us to grow spiritually. And the key words here is in verse 1 is peace. Verse 2 is access. Verse 3 is glory of tribulations. Verse 4 is hope. And verse 5 is the love of God. When we become born again, we gain the peace of God. This is stage 1. Very elementary teaching. When I got saved for the first time, I knew what peace was. I was at peace, not only with myself, but with God. I did not have this internal conflict going on, and neither should you. Because the peace He gives is an eternal peace, and it passes all understanding. I cannot describe to you that peace. I can only be at peace. Amen? Stage 1. Stage 2 is at the moment we receive Christ, we then gain free access to grace. What is grace? Yeah, just shout it out so we can all hear. God's power and presence is what grace is. And God's power and presence enable us by faith to become that which He has called us to be. And because He called us that, He has also established a covenant that is much better than the covenant that we've ever known before. Because we have access to this unmerited favor, it is God's desire to pour out this grace upon us and lavish it upon us. Simply, we don't need to have a pedigree to receive this grace. Or in other words, who is God's chosen people? Before us. Israel, the Jew. We didn't have to be Jews. We didn't have to convert to Judaism to become the people of God. Right? Nor did we have to have a performance mindset or keep the law. The law is what we do right, we get stuff. If we do wrong, we get punished, right? We don't have to do that anymore. So we don't have to be a Jew to enter into His family, and we don't have to keep the law. Well, how do we enter into this grace? Jesus, because we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He has now positioned us. Hear me. He has now positioned us out of the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous kingdom of light, and has given us precious promises through His covenant that He has won for us and keeps for us, because we are incapable of keeping covenant, so that the grace of God can begin to work inside of us. That is stage 2. Stage 3 is we have His living hope, that we can rejoice in God's glory. One day, hope is always what? Future. One day we will see the glory of God, because we will stand in His glory and we will be like Him as He is. One day. That's our hope. That's stage 3. We maintain that hope. Stage 4, we can rejoice in the sufferings we go through, because it produces the right results when we rightly receive them. And a lot of us don't want to receive them. Peter says, I rejoice in various trials and tribulations that I find myself in. And I used to be one of those guys that used to say, man, he is sick. How can you rejoice in that nonsense? Man, this is pain. But when we rightly discern to rightly receive that everything that we go through is for the perfecting of our faith, the building of our inner man, so that we can begin to flow in the things of God, it all works out. Some of us don't like pain. Some of us like pain so much we think that's normal. And it's not. This pain is not self-inflicted. This pain is going through life and allow life to teach us how God loves us and has to grow us up. Some of us have a warped sense of what the Scriptures are saying. Some of us live far below than what God has manifested and promised to us. And all three, or all four of these stages, are to produce stage five, which is the love of God, the agape love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts to come out of us. We may love God, but we don't love each other. And that may come out as being stern. It may come out as being harsh. It may come out as, well, I was only speaking the truth in love. Whose love? It's agape. It's agape love. Remember I talked about this, the loves of God, how it flows around His justice, how it flows around His truth, and how it flows around His grace. It gives us an understanding of God's love and how for me, I flowed in God's justice and truth, but I didn't have His grace or His compassion for others. And thereby people misunderstood what I was trying to convey until the fullness of the love of God was shed abroad in my heart. I got the revelation that has transformed me for God's glory. With this, this impartation of God's love gives us the three phases of God's love. The first phase is when we become born again, we only receive the capacity of God's love. We become an open vessel to receiving God's love to be poured into us. And as we receive this love of God, there is an internal things go on the inside that the Holy Spirit wants to change in our lives. And most of us don't like it. Most of us only do the things that God says half-heartedly. And then we wonder why we're not flowing in the things of God. We wonder why the gifts aren't being manifested. We're wondering why we're so agitated. We're wondering why things that we say, although they're true, are hurtful. Stage one. Stage two, when we experience the outpouring or being baptized into His Spirit, we become empowered by God to an inexhaustible resource from heaven to begin to love and demonstrate God's love like never before. And how many of us have been baptized in the Spirit? God's love, in its most simplistic form, is demonstrating love to those who are less fortunate than we are. And this demonstration can take on anything from casting out demons, because they're not from God, healing the sick, having limbs regenerated in people's lives, healing them in their minds, healing their hearts, bringing deliverance, words of knowledge, etc., etc. That is only stage two. And we should be flowing in this, guys. We should be flowing in this stage. I believe you love God. I just believe you love yourselves more than you love God. And that's the truth. Because if we are not flowing in the Spirit of God, whose spirit are we flowing in? Got to be our own. Really. And Satan does all he can to keep us in that vein. And it is a battle. And if we're flowing in this phase, the third phase is even worse, because it's through this phase that the disciplines and trainings of the Holy Spirit for our divine character that shines forth. This, remember I said it is charisma that's supposed to shine forth, actually draws all men, because it's Jesus who is coming out of this tomb. Remember how I spoke prophetically and said that the rolling away of the stone from his tomb was the actual rolling away of the heart of stone from us, and God has given us a heart of flesh. Jesus wants to come out of us. We want to keep him in here. And we wonder why we struggle so much, why we're not growing, why we're not receiving the revelation. We do things to sabotage our lives without even realizing it. And then we put God's name to it. But God said, did he? God said, I'm going to be this. Did he? God said, I'm going to do this. Did he? That's why I ask you, what is God saying to you? What is the weakest gift in the church? Discernment. That's why I ask you, what is God saying? To help you to discern, to challenge you to use the gift of discernment to hear his voice. From the voice of the world, from the voice of Satan, from your own voice. Turn to Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. We all there? I want us all to read this together. Ready? Out loud. It's a test. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Who? Who? Who's me? You're getting it. That's right. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We, because of thee. I could be a rapper. Because he has anointed me. Are you anointed? God's word can't lie. You're anointed. Say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. Now the purpose. To preach the gospel to the poor. Preach the gospel to the poor. I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Say it. And that's what I expect you to do. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That word sent, this anointing, is an apostolic anointing. What is an apostle? Who? 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 Who's being sent? Come on. It's singular. Who's he sending? Me. So it's not for somebody else, right? The anointing that Jan has isn't just for Quandell. You getting it? To proclaim liberty to the captives. Who's the captives? Those who are still far away from God. Those who are still in our midst that are in bondage. Double-edged sword. There's a lot of bondage and improper teachings that keep people in bondage in the body of Christ. But you have been anointed. Say it. I've been anointed. To preach the good news. Heal the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to the captives. And recover the sight to the blind. Is that just physical sight? It's the prophetic. Are you getting this? Can you see this? If you don't have spiritual sight, you can't operate in the prophetic. That makes us pathetic. Come on now. It's not serious stuff. Although it is. To set liberty to those who are oppressed. Read your Bible. That is called spiritual warfare. Of which we will shortly be doing. I didn't teach about prophetic and apostolic intercessory prayer for my health. You don't understand, Pastor. I'm so busy. You need to get busy about the things of God before you get busy about the things of yourself. The acronym of busy is what? Come on, Hal, say it. That is correct. If we're so busy that we don't have time for God, I just ask you to just take a look at your lives. And there's balance. I mean, you have to understand everything is in balance. But we set our lives up in such a way that we don't devote any time to God. Which Satan has us busy chasing our tails. And that's why the church hasn't matured to the place it needs to. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What is that talking about? Talking about the year of Jubilee. His second coming. We are under Jubilee. What is Jubilee? Everything is restored back to us. Yes, freedom. You have to understand that the anointing that God has put upon you breaks the yoke of bondage. You are totally set free. Then why are you living like you're still captives? Because you have not been infilled by the power of the Holy One. Many disciples who have not matured sufficiently enough to flow in this anointing wrongly or falsely believe that they've received everything when they got saved. You have been anointed, but you have not received power. Next week, we're going to talk about receiving the Holy Spirit in power. Being not only indwelled, but flowing in the power. And that's what this is. It's the Holy Spirit coming upon us. When did Jesus move in power? Speak up. When did he receive the Holy Spirit? Come on, you Bible scholars. When he was baptized. What baptism are we talking about here? Come on. What baptism are we talking about, Kim? I'll wake you up. Quandell's alert because he's down with me. He knows. You want Quandell to bail you out? Excuse me? When he was baptized by John the Baptist is not when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Only when he rose out of the water And what does baptism signify? What does water baptism signify? Huh? Yeah. Dying of your old self. Yes. Is it your reality? See, you can't receive the baptism or the infilling of the Spirit until you are baptized into Christ. Only Christ is anointed, and He imparts His anointing to us. Until you are infilled with His Spirit, you have no power. All you are is in Christ. You're kind of like an engine that hasn't been started yet. Would you like your engine started? No, Jess, you want your engine started? So you can have power over all the works of the devil, over sin, over temptation, that you can live in victory? I'll hold you to that tomorrow. The purpose for us to mature is Daddy has a plan to take us home. But we have a twofold purpose for this anointing, this infilling. One is the anointing of Isaiah 61 that Jesus spoke of. That is your anointing. No one can take that from you. It dwells in you. But the other anointing that we have after giving it, performing Isaiah 61, is we also have a job to declare to people that when we share the gospel with them, that Jesus is coming. We are to herald His second coming. It is the responsibility of the church to make that announcement. It isn't the responsibility of the church to just get fat, dumb, and lazy, collect all this stuff, because this stuff is going to burn. Oh, do you think God wants us to be rich? Do you think God wants us to be rich? Yeah, he wants us to be rich. Do you think He wants us to prosper? Yeah, He wants us to prosper. Do you think He wants us to have a big family? Yeah. He does want us to have a big family. And we are. We're growing. Streams is growing. Okay? Does He want you to rule and reign? He does. Because that's what you were created for. You were created to rule and reign in His stead till He comes. And then when we go and consummate this marriage with the marriage feast of the Lamb, we come back with Him. We're going to watch Him remake everything. That's why you need to have the gift of discernment developed in you, because you will discern and judge nations. You will judge angels. You will even judge believers. This anointing that God has given to us is for conflict. And a lot of times the conflict that we go through is within our own homes, within our own self. In Exodus 4, we see that God had put this anointing upon Moses. And Moses, his directive was to go back to Pharaoh. Okay? What was his job? Moses' job was to go and face Pharaoh. Who's our Pharaoh? Satan. But as the church is going to face Pharaoh. I was talking with an individual saying, well, we just need somebody to rise up from the church. No, what we need is the church to rise up. That's what we need. The statement where it says, the only thing for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. I see awesome people here. The only reason why you haven't realized is because you haven't matured yet, where you don't know how to use the anointing, how to flow in this. Moses went to face Pharaoh about making Israel slaves. Were they conquered? No, they weren't conquered. But they became slaves. How is that possible? If you are not conquered, how can you become a slave? They became a slave by economic bondage, which is in total disregard to the covenant that God has cut with you and for me. And we go through this life accepting this as normal. What's normal is that you prosper and bless people. What's normal is you be generous. What's normal is you love no matter what. What's normal is that we don't complain and murmur. That's normal. What's abnormal is what we do. We talk about each other. We make statements about somebody else's ability. Oh, I could do that job better than them. Really? They don't know what they're doing. They're dummies. You're not dumb. You just haven't been enlightened and educated yet. But once you are, watch out. Watch out. You are anointed. And because of economic bondage, it's an antichrist system. We are experiencing that today in Western civilization. You look at Europe, you look at America, and you tell me if this nation is prosperous. Where's God? They're trying to kick God out. They've kicked God out of our schools. They've kicked God out of our money, although he's still printed on there. And now he's been kicked out of our government. Because the people are in economic bondage. Which is in clear violation to the Genesis mandate of our covenant, Genesis 1:28. Moses was called and he went with an apostolic anointing. You are called to go with an apostolic anointing. But we need to have our vision restored in such a way that we know what the will of the Father is. Moses was sent to confront evil powers and release or deliver the people of God from economic impoverity. We see this all through the scriptures. When he led them out to go in the promised land, he sent Joshua to take them into the promised land. He sent Caleb to be a judge to deliver them. He sent Jesus Christ to deliver us. And now he's sending us. The problem is, there are not many churches teaching this, and there's even more churches that are stuck on truths to build their ministries. I want to build his house. I want to build his people. Why do people have such a struggle? 1 Timothy 1:5 and 6 says, "Now the purpose of this commandment is to love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk." Purity? I don't want to talk about modesty. Gosh, that's a foreign concept for people today. Purity of conscience. Everybody has an answer. Everybody's got an opinion. I was asked Friday night, "So, what's your opinion?" I said, I don't have an opinion. Why not? I only can give the word of God. Opinions stink. They don't build people. They just tell people how stinking your thinking is. I will tell you what God says, because his way is pure, his way is holy. His way is full of faith. He doesn't say one thing and do another. It's not idle talk. And the reason for it is because they have not taken to heart the mandate of Revelation 12:11, which says, they overcame the adversary by the blood of the Lamb, were their testimony, and they really loved their lives, even unto death. What's it say? They did not love their lives even unto death. You see, when we became born again, we go back to spiritual growth, we gave up our lives. When we became baptized in water, we proclaimed in public statement that we would no longer live our lives for ourselves. No longer. That's what the death, burial, and resurrection is all about. This anointing that God wants to pour on those who haven't received and a fresh refreshing is for all who have faith and have a purity of it. Without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we're like a car that is ready to go, keys in the ignition, but we have no battery. Thereby, we can't do anything. We struggle with our sin. We struggle keeping ourselves pure. We struggle in everything. But we love God. God says, we must receive the promise of the Father. And you can't receive part of Him. You have to receive all of Him. You have to receive all of Him when you open up your whole heart by faith. Let me give you a story. And we'll finish. And it's about this poor drawing I made. It's supposed to be Niagara Falls. It's poor. Okay? When we become saved, we see what's going on in here. And how many of us have been to Niagara Falls? Niagara Falls is an awesome thing. I would say, you know, take your family there. I'm not saying get in a barrel and go over it, but, you know, go see it. It's awesome. It really is. At the top of the falls, there's a great lake, and that is Lake Erie. Goes through this insulet, and this is where most of us are. We're at here. We've received the water. Okay, we've got all this stuff going on, but we seem to not have the power to do the things that God has asked us to do. Power is generated when it falls. When the water falls, when the Holy Spirit falls upon us, Joel 2:20 says He will pour out all flesh just on me. No. All flesh. He's not a discriminator. Whoever wants to receive will receive. That power comes from on high. God pours out the Holy Spirit on us. And only that power that is being generated is now upon us and it ignites us from inside. But we're still not useful to the Father just yet. We have been empowered. And what happens, and I did this when I was a young man, I got power, and man, I won out. I started, you know, speaking in tongues, and people are afraid of tongues. But understand, that is your spirit speaking to your Father who art in heaven, to confuse the devil from your communicating from your Father. You need to exercise. Tongues is not a sign that you were baptized in the Spirit. Hear me. It is a sign that you received the Holy Spirit. Did you receive the Spirit? If you did, you should be speaking in tongues. If you do not speak in tongues, did you receive the Spirit? So power is generated when it comes down from high. Only when it leaves this area and goes into a channel Does it become productive? And that channel is the Niagara River. And many things are generated from there. We become useful in the Master's hands. Only when we've been received the Holy Spirit, we allow His discipline, His training, everything that He wants to do with us to transform us into spiritual men and women to do the will of the Father, no matter the cost. Remember when we did the setting in for our band of brothers? And on the sword, it said, no matter the cost, in the Greek. No matter the cost. It's either all or nothing. God wants to give us all. We received all, but we don't have all His power yet. And that's what's been lacking in the church. And those who have received His power, play with it. It's time to channel it to be used by God for the purposes of God, to fill this house, to fill His temple with the people of God before He comes. Our job is to go and bring in the harvest. And part of bringing that harvest in is, what have you been anointed for? You've been anointed to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, have those to receive their eyesight, break bondages, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But if you don't have power, and Jesus not only preached it, He demonstrated it. Remember I said our job is to demonstrate the love of God, the heart of the Father? We demonstrate it by releasing the Spirit of God through us to cast out demons, to heal the sick, share vision, prophesy, bring correction, exhortation. But we won't know how to do those things if we don't take heart to what Father says in His Word. And we still do the things that we want to do. God's not angry with us. God is not confused about what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what He wants to do. We get to do these things because Daddy has anointed us. You are a holy people. You are pure. You're filled with majesty. You're awesome. There's nothing that you cannot do. There's nothing that you cannot be. There's nothing you don't have that's already being held for you by Jesus. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be fruitful and multiply. He wants you to take dominion and rule the land. But if you can't even rule your flesh, you're not going to rule what's going on out there. You see, we have to be free before we can go and set somebody else free. We have to be able to love the way God loves before we can go and love the people who are unlovable. I want to exhort you. Come next week, I'm going to talk about how to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about, and we're going to pull this all back, and everybody who wants to receive the Holy Spirit will pray and will receive the Holy Spirit. It's simple as that. You don't want to receive Him? It's your mess. God doesn't want you in diapers any longer. And for too long, we as adults have been wearing spiritual diapers, expecting somebody else to do our job. Jesus said, the works I do, I expect you to do them, but greater. That's what he said. Are you ready to do the greater works? This is yes. Amen. Amen.